rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground.
Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Doug Miller Sports Dome, the Diplomat Banquet Center, the Soccer Shack, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. I'm your co-host, Andrew Battisti, and thank you very much for joining us in this beautiful Monday evening. And on all of the Commonwealth countries, happy Victoria Day today. On tonight's show, we'll begin our look ahead to the 2010 World Cup with our very special guest from the U.S. men's national team, Marcus Hahnemann. And we'll also speak to the new keeper for the Rhinos, Neil Kitson. And now here's our host, Joe Sirianni. How you doing, Joe?
Good, Andrew. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer Kick in the Grass. Like you said, Andrew, beautiful day, a good night to speak about soccer. There's so much going on, and we're certainly going to have our take on everything that we saw today and or heard about it. And then we're going to have Dick that we're going to talk about soccer in general, and of course we're going to take some. We're going to focus a little bit on the USL problem with the Crystal Palace and
St. Louis,
because I heard the Crystal Palace is in trouble too. So we'll talk about all these things, and above all, we're going to talk about the Rhinos. You know, the two losses that they had. We give our view as we see it. We don't claim to be terrific experts, but we know soccer a little bit, and we're going to give our views on it.
No, you know soccer a lot more than me. You've been, of course, those of you who may be listening for the first time, Joe Sirianni, the former trainer of the Rochester Lancers. Soccer has been in his blood for his entire life. I only started when I was about 8 years old. So Joe has been born and bred into soccer. But before we get to the Rhinos, I want to mention real quick congratulations to Rochester's Abby Wambach. She had a pair of goals in an emphatic 4-0 win by the U.S. over number 2-ranked Germany. That puts Abby into third place all-time in the scoring for the U.S. women's national team. And, Joe, next year they'll be in Germany for the Women's World Cup. So we want to congratulate Abby and all the ladies for a great result.
And, you know, Andrew, just like you're saying, being old, it's something that happens to everybody. But I remember Charlie and I broadcasting the Ravens game, and Abby made her debut with the Mercy. No, she came from Mercy, but she joined the Ravens. And it was funny that, the unpredictable things happen all the time. And here where she is right now.
So you can say you called a match with Abby Wambach on the field.
Yeah, we did.
So I can tell you, we're very proud of her, and we're very proud of our men's national team. Again, we'll have Marcus Hahnemann on the show in about 25 minutes or so. Let's quickly talk about the Rhinos. Two losses, two shutouts, unfortunately. A match against Crystal Palace, Baltimore Wednesday, and Palace now with very good results in their last few matches. They beat Portland twice, and they beat the Rhinos, so they're starting to get their act together. And then Vancouver just played an excellent match. They shut the Rhinos down defensively, and they had some very strong forwards up top. Stewart, the very quick forward from St. Vincent, along with his countryman Marlon James, and Marcus Haber, the rookie of the year last year. They're an excellent team. They were the runners-up last year, Joe, so no crime to lose to them, but we need to get our revenge this coming Saturday as Vancouver comes here to town to play against the Rhinos, and we'll have Baltimore coming back here in just a few weeks.
Well, you know, Andrew, that when we talk about the Rhinos and we talk, you know, a young team that has just been formed, a new coach, everything is new, with the exception of three guys, I think, that are back from last year, right? And, you know, everybody's new. So it's going to take a while to develop the cohesion. I think that one of the things that I saw, Coach Lilly already talked about it, is that we have short passes, we clog the middle, and we don't shoot on goals. If you don't shoot on goal, you're just not going to score. And then, you know, and then when things fail, we try the aerial game. And the aerial game doesn't really work, because usually the defenders are always tall people that they're facing the play, and they are consequently, they, you know, the forward, they have to receive the ball, turn around, bring it under control, and do all the things that are required. So it's very difficult to put a ball in the air, and that's very difficult when you give, I call this hospital balls. You know, when you have a defender on you, and all of a sudden you're trying to out-dribble it, you get in trouble, and you pass the ball to the teammate that's not ready to receive it, and he has to come to receive the ball, and they end up losing the ball. If you look at all the giveaway that Rhino did in Rochester, it was similar to the same thing that they did in Vancouver. You know, they didn't control the midfield. They had short passes.
Yep.
They just lost the cohesion of the thing. The defense was pressed in here, and the defense was pressed over there. And, you know, how long can they survive like that?
That's right. And Martin Nash showed why he is one of the best players this league has ever produced. He's pulled all the strings in midfield, made all the proper passes, and that shows you the experience that he has. But, again, this is a young team. We'll see how they come out against Vancouver. We're going to find out from Neil Kitson, the Rhinos' new starting goalkeeper, how he's reacted to the two losses, and what he thinks is going to happen on Saturday at Marina Auto Stadium, a 7 p.m. kickoff. It may be the last time we see Vancouver ever here in Rochester, because they're going to MLS next year. So this is your one chance. Of course, Vancouver goes all the way back to the NASL days, Joe, and you remember lots of great matches with the Whitecaps.
I'm going to go on record, Andrew, that I like Kitson goalkeeping approach. I like the, you know, I don't believe that the goal that they scored over here was totally his fault. I think he should have had it, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
That's right. Well, we'll talk to him about that. And, again, coming up at about 20 minutes, we'll have Marcus Hahnemann from the U.S. Men's National Team. Of course, he was also the winning keeper in the 1996 A-League Final for the Seattle Sounders against the Rhinos. And we talk about that. This interview I taped earlier today with Marcus, and we talk a little bit about the Rhinos and the Seattle Sounders. But coming up next is another goalie. We have a lot of goalies on the show tonight. Mr. Zero Dick Howard, for the goalie for the 1970 NASL champion Rochester Lancers. We'll have all the news on today's international friendlies and all the other news around the world of soccer next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Marcus Hahnemann from the U.S. Men's National Team. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Everyone is looking for a company that can provide quality work in a timely fashion and at a reasonable price. LS Graphics is just that company. We would love to be your one-stop shop for all of your promotional and signage needs. LS Graphics, 1275 Mount Reed Boulevard. Call 436-6370. That's 436-6370. LS Graphics, what we do for you gets noticed.
Imagine cleaning out your car and finding hundreds of dollars worth of change hidden in the seats. That's the feeling you can get when you change your car insurance to Allstate. People who did saved an average of $396 a year. Change is good. Are you in good hands?
How much can you save? Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo first. Savings based on national customer reported data for new policies. Actual savings vary. Property insurance subject to availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Koosha Koosh, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
The Rhinos' 15th anniversary season rolls on. The Rhinos' next home game is this Saturday, May 29th at 7 p.m. versus the Vancouver Whitecaps. Tickets can be purchased in person at the Marina Auto Stadium box office, online at Ticketmaster.com, or by calling the Rhinos at 454-KICK. Single game tickets and group discount sales are available. Get the complete 2010 schedule by visiting the Rhinos' website at rhinosoccer.com. Celebrate the Rhinos' 15th season of play in 2010.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
Our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Pittsburgh. Let's go up to beautiful Toronto, Ontario. Hello, Dick, and happy Victoria Day.
Well, many thanks, Andrew. Yeah, it's a gorgeous day here, and I'm sure you've had the same fine weather. So it was a really great day to enjoy everything, although I spent the bulk of the afternoon indoors watching a game between Canada and Argentina.
Let's talk about that, because we had a number of international friendlies today. We usually have a lot of breaking soccer news on Monday nights, but today we certainly had a lot of it, and it was not a surprising result, I would say, for the host Argentines, and their coach Diego Maradona was a dominant 5-0 victory over Canada today.
Yeah, it looked quite distinguished, didn't it, Diego, with that beard? But no Lionel Messi, but still Argentina far too strong for a Canadian team that was missing 7 regular players, so it was a bit of a patchwork back four, patchwork midfield, and Argentina spent most of the game in the Canadian half of the field. But the great thing, I think, Andrew, and you and Joe will appreciate this, that Pat Onstad, the evergreen Pat Onstad, you know, 42 years young, established a Canadian record today with 57 caps for Canada, 57 appearances for Canada, beating out my good friend Craig Forrest. So that was a great day for Pat Onstad, but he had a tough time and stood no chance with the goals.
What happened to the defense? Nobody protected him?
It was a case, Joe. Maxi Rodriguez scored on a superb free kick to start it off. Tevez combined with him for a second goal. And then Angel Di Maria scored an outstanding goal just before half-time. So it's 3-0 at the half, and then they just substituted freely in the second half. And Tevez scored and Aguero in the second half. So 5-0, very true reflection of the game. And Canada have to bounce back because en route back to Canada, they play a game against Venezuela on Saturday.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have a better luck against Venezuela because Venezuela is not as good as Argentina, of course.
No, they're not Argentina, but they've still done exceptionally well in South American football. They used to be the door match, you know, the team that finished at the bottom of any competition in CONMEBOL, the South American Confederation. But in recent years, the club teams have done very well. The national team has done a lot better. So it will not be as easy a game as one would anticipate for Canada, who hopefully will have some of the players who've been injured back in action.
I watched the England-Mexico game today, and even though I thought that the Mexico had the better of the ball control and the nice passes, England beat them 3-1. And, you know, the second goal, I thought it was a handball, but, you know, that's the way it went. England showed Desire and Capello, you know, all those guys that are trying to go to South Africa, they put everything in there. And there were, you know, 88,000 people in the stadium, so it gave you something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, and he didn't start all his players, did he? He wanted to give some players a run just to see who would fit into the final squad. But no, the reports were that Mexico did exceptionally well, and England, of course, relied on that. The height of Peter Crouch, I think, was certainly a factor in any high balls into the box, with Oscar Perez having a tough time with regards to that. But this Mexican team is one of the best in recent years, so I expect them to do well in South Africa.
Well, they're certainly going to have to work on their set-piece defense, because both the goals in the first half were off corner kicks, and again, Crouch set up Ledley King for the first goal, just headed the ball back across, and King was unmarked 6 yards out from goal, and was an easy put away. And then the second goal was really Wayne Rooney just cracked a header right off the ball was actually saved by the Mexican keeper, Oscar Perez, off the crossbar, went straight up into the air, and probably the shortest goal you'll ever see scored, probably about 3 inches. Crouch was sitting right on the goal line and just nodded it in. It looked like it did go off his arm, though.
It went off his arm. He didn't head it in. It went off his arm. The ball hit his arm.
But Mexico pulled a goal back at the end of the first half, but a tremendous strike from an individual effort from back Glenn Johnson, who you wouldn't expect to see this skill, but he brought the ball up, got a nice feed from Theo Walcott along the touchline, just brought the ball right to the top of the box and unleashed a shot right past the Mexican keeper, and it was a 3-1 win. Dick, you got to say, though, Mexico had the run of play, they had the possession, but the only thing that matters is how many goals you put in the back of the net. And England knows how to do that, and I think the U.S. is certainly, I'm sure they watched the match today. They should have some worries, especially without Terry and Frank Lampard and Ashley Cole in the lineup for England today.
Yeah, and as you rightly mentioned, this situation with regards to set plays, because you've got to get the organization right. And with the Argentinians' first goal, it was a flank free kick out at the side of the penalty area, and it was just whipped in with so much pace, slight deflection off the wall, and it's very, very difficult for the goalkeepers to defend against those balls that are whipped in swinging into the goal mouth, because a slight deflection and it can go in the back of the net. And England, and certainly Capello, are very adroit at setting up set plays, because often in, as we know, closely contested games, that's often the way the game is decided.
You know, the surprise is certainly as Portugal against Cabo Verde. You know, whoever thought that, I never heard of Cabo Verde before.
And you got your atlas out, Joe, did you?
I'm sorry?
You got your atlas out for the Cape Verde Islands, yeah.
Yeah.
you said it in Italian, I guess, but yeah, they were a very difficult, very surprising scoreless tie. It looks like Carlo Queiroz may not be the coach of Portugal very much longer, and Portugal is going to have some serious issues. I mean, Ivory Coast right now, Drogba playing so well, and of course, Brazil in Group G. That's going to be tough. But the other matches today, I want to mention, South Africa drew with Bulgaria and Johannesburg 1-1, and Australia barely got by New Zealand 2-1, and literally the last kick of the game from Brent Holman, and then Japan dropped a 2-0 decision to South Korea. So there'll be a lot more friendlies coming up. Of course, the U.S. and the Czech Republic tomorrow, Dick, and the Netherlands will host Mexico on Wednesday, and then England plays Japan on Saturday, along with the U.S. against Turkey. So really, we're going to see a lot of great matches in the next 3 weeks running up to the World Cup.
Yeah, it's ideal for managers, isn't it, to get the team together and get these exhibition games in place. The bottom line is you've got to be ready for that opening game. And when you talked about that, the one that Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire, are playing against Portugal, it was interesting because I was chatting to some Portuguese media yesterday who were in Toronto where Benfica were playing an exhibition game against Panathinaikos from Greece. a scoreless tie. Not, you didn't miss a game, you know, too much in the game because it was missing some of the star players. But they are still very confident that this Portuguese team will at least get to the quarterfinals. So we were talking, and we all agreed, though, that that first game against the Ivory Coast will be the key because their final game is against their great rivals from Brazil. So you can't expect too much from that game.
Well, it's going to be great to see what Ronaldinho can do against the you know, the skill of Ronaldo. I'm talking about Ronaldo. What is Cristiano Ronaldo can do against Brazil, you know, with all these skills and all the skills that Brazil possess. I think that I was talking with Francisco Escos the other day and Nelly Durante. And, you know, of course, Francisco, it's all Argentina and Eli, it's all Brazil. And, you know, one of the questions that I asked them was, how can Brazil really produce so many great players? You know, and then they export them all over the world. You know, it seems, like, you know, not even, you know, I don't know of any other country that produce so many skillful players.
No, I think it's very much in the culture, isn't it, and the way that the game is developed and the passions for the game. And as you rightly mentioned, so many talented players that have come through the system and are now playing all over the world, and it's just a testimony to the way the game is treated. It's the only game in the country, whereas, as we know, in North America, if you're a soccer player, then you're maybe competing against a variety of other sports, and that right. can maybe take you away and get you playing hockey or whatever the other sport may be. But there, the only sport is the football.
Yeah, it will be remiss of me if I didn't ask you your opinion comments about Internazionale of Italy. You know, the win, the triple that they got in Marino. Give us your a brief rundown of your opinion and of the game.
It went according to plan. Mourinho, you know, he knows the tactical aspects and probably has a good idea of the philosophy of Van Gaal because of working with him as an assistant, and he just prepared the team so well, and the result, I don't think, surprised too many people at the end. But they were certainly the best team. They won all the little 1v1 confrontations. Tactically, that they played it to perfection. I still think, you know, the key point was that marvelous save by Julio Cesar when he deflected it over the top, that great strike by Ian Robin. But overall, a magnificent performance, and great for Internazionale after so many years. What is it, 45 years?
Yeah,
I remember
years.
Watching those great teams in the mid-60s, coached by Helenio Herrera, and he was very much the strategist as well. And here you've got Jose Mourinho, who's maybe a modern-day Herrera, but an outstanding job. And now, of course, he can write his own contract when he goes to Madrid in the next few days.
One of the things that was in that match on Saturday, and I was stunned when I heard this. They were talking about Milito after he scored his second goal. If he had scored a hat trick, it would have been the first one since, I believe it said, 69. But you know who that was who scored the last hat trick in the Champions League final?
Piero
Prati, who played for the Rochester Lancers in 1978.
That's and a good finish like, hey, for you, Andrew.
How about
well
that? But Dick, before we let you go, we want to make sure there was some big news this over the past few days about AC St. Louis losing their sponsorship money, their backing money, and they're in big trouble right now. And just thinking with Portland and Vancouver going to MLS next year and Montreal the year after that, it seems like Division II in the U.S. and Canada is a little bit shaky right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's unfortunate that this has happened with the St. Louis franchise. Still think that there are other good franchises that will come aboard, but you certainly don't want things like that to happen. But I still believe that in North America, and certainly in Canada, there are individuals that are doing an excellent job, maybe at a lower level, that could maybe step into to fill the void. But it's not the way you want things to go, because it's not only affecting the men's league, but apparently it's affecting the women's team as well, is it not?
But Dick, yes. Is there an indication of you know, the financial problem that the European teams going to find themselves in, because, you know, Crystal Palace is also, you know, financed backed by Crystal Palace of England. And, you know, those teams are not doing very well financially. So it's an indication. Do you think that it's an indication really of what soccer drawing is in England in this case?
It's, you know, with regards to the economy at the present time, you're going to have things like this happening. You'd like to think that teams are going to be managed in a proper manner. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. But with regards to the clubs that you've mentioned, you know, with the Crystal Palace situation as well as AC St. Louis, it's certainly something that surprised me, because, especially with AC St. Louis, because it's been such a hotbed over the years, you would like to think that there would be local ownership that would be strong enough to maintain the franchises. But it's not easy. You know, you're not going to make money. You've got to put a lot into the sport. And I still think that there's a definite need to have the second tier below MLS. And hopefully it won't be affected at all by what's happening in St. Louis at the present time.
Well, we'll have to see what happens over the next few days and over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully some people will step up and save that franchise, at least get them through this season, and then, you know, we'll see what happens next year. But Dick, we're gonna have Marcus Hahnemann coming up in our next segment. We want to let everybody know that next week we're gonna have a special edition of Soccer Is a Kick in the Grass. We're going to preview the World Cup. We're going to go through all 32 teams, and we're going to have an expert panel consisting of Joe Sirianni, Michael Lewis from the New York Daily News, and of course former Lancer beat writer and reporter, and Dick Howard, and I'll even throw in a couple of thoughts in myself. But we're looking forward to that, Dick, for next Monday show, which we'll tape later this week.
Okay, look forward to it, guys.
Thanks a lot, Dick.
Ciao, Nick.
Okay, bye for now.
Ciao, Dick.
Dick Howard, live from Toronto here on Soccer Is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we will have U.S. Men's National Team keeper Marcus Hahnemann on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer Is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Your local sports leader.
You're listening to WYSL1040.com on the web.
FM 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL.
Avon Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The one place in town to get all your gear is The Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National Team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The Diplomat Party House and Banquet Center is ready for your event. Trade shows, business meetings, anniversaries, showers, conventions. But weddings are their specialty. Service has been the Diplomat's priority since 1957. Quality of food and atmosphere, always world class at affordable prices. The Diplomat Banquet Center, 1 Diplomat Way, 2 miles from 390 in Gates, 647-1566. DiplomatBanquetCTR.com.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Oliva welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Oliva, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
The Rhinos' 15th anniversary season rolls on. The Rhinos' next home game is this Saturday, May 29th at 7 p.m. versus the Vancouver Whitecaps. Tickets can be purchased in person at the Marina Auto Stadium box office, online at Ticketmaster.com, or by calling the Rhinos at 454-KICK. Single game tickets and group discount sales are available. Get the complete 2010 schedule by visiting the Rhinos website at rhinosoccer.com. Celebrate the Rhinos' 15th season of play in 2010.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
This makes me feel all patriotic, Joe.
That's very great.
Back here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass, Andrew Battisti and Joe Sirianni. And we're coming up in just a moment. We will have our interview with Marcus Hahnemann, which I taped earlier today. Also coming up right after that, after our final break, we'll have Neil Kitson from the Rochester Rhinos, the new goalkeeper. And we'll see if he's going to be in the nets on Saturday against the Vancouver Whitecaps. But Joe, Marcus was very, very gracious. I also want to thank Michael Kammerman from U.S. Soccer. I tend to be a pain in the butt sometimes asking for interviews, but he really came through for us. And Marcus, we're going to hear a lot of things about the national team, about their preparations for the World Cup, and we're going to even hear a bit about the old days when he played for the Seattle Sounders.
Well, it's certainly a great privilege to have Mark Hahnemann on our show, and you know, Soccer's Kick in the Grass is going back a long time, having great interviews, and you're doing a great job in lining up all these people, and all these famous people, and that's what we do.
Well, let's go now to that taped interview we did earlier today with Marcus Hahnemann.
Here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, and we're joined now, very happy to be joined by one of the three gentlemen who's going to try to keep clean sheets for the United States in the World Cup. Rhino fans will remember him from 1996. He was the goalie for the Seattle Sounders. They beat the Rhinos in the A-League Championship. Now plays for Wolverhampton Wanderers in England, and of course a member of U.S. World Cup squad. Joined by Marcus Hahnemann, and Marcus's appearance is sponsored by the Soccer Shack in Brighton. Marcus, thanks for being with us today. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
I know, Marcus, it's been a long year for you over in England, and now you're getting ready for the World Cup. Tell us about how things have been going the week in Princeton, New Jersey. How's the team coming together?
Really good. You know, a lot of guys have come off really long seasons, so we had a few guys who were left out of training the first few days, and everyone's making it back and looking really good now.
Yeah, it seems like it's... It was just yesterday, 4 years ago, when the United States was playing in the World Cup in Germany, and you were part of that team. How is this different, the preparation this time around versus 2006?
It's much of the same. It seems like we've, a bit longer this time, but, you know, my memory fails me sometimes, and you know, everything seemed a lot shorter last time. You know, we've had a good week in Princeton now, and you know, now with these two games, and you know, we're packing a lot in this time. That's for sure.
Yeah, you said it has been a long season. England just got finished, and of course, the MLS players—they're right in the start of their season. And how are the players from MLS mixing in with the European and the Mexican-based players? Is everybody getting on the same page now with Bob Bradley and the coaching staff?
Yeah, I think so. With you know, everybody playing all over the world, it's you know, that's one of the reasons why the first few days are so I don't know, because everyone's coming. You know, Gooch came from Milan. You know, we had guys from Sweden, the guys from England, Carlos from France, and you know, guys from everywhere. And you know, and then you bring the guys in from Mexico as well, and then the U.S. Based guys who you know came in from games on the Saturday. And you know, so it was the first few days people were all, you know, wondering why certain guys weren't training or were training. And, you know, everyone needs a little rest, getting knocks from games. And the last few days you see everybody, you know, firing on all cylinders. We had a few scrimmages, and, you know, we've looked really good. Defensively, we've looked super solid, like we always have historically, and that's the hard part sometimes, because you're defensively, you really need to work well together, and sometimes that is comes together really difficultly, and it hasn't been the case now, and I think that kind of bodes from, you know, this team has really been together for a long time. You know, we've had a lot of games, you know, qualifying games and a lot of friendlies, and, you know, we've had the same sort of guys for a long time.
I think Jose Mourinho proved once again on Saturday, defense wins championships, and, you know, it's good to know we have three of the top goalkeepers in the Premiership on our side. We've got, you know, solid defending, and things look good for the United States, and the next step in the process of getting ready for South Africa is this week. You've got the Czech Republic coming up tomorrow evening in Hartford, a team that probably one of the strongest teams that did not make the World Cup, and then you have coming up on Saturday Turkey, who just 8 years ago were in third place in the World Cup. So two good solid European opponents to play against coming up this week.
Yeah, we have some really tough friendlies, which is always nice, and it's to really test yourself and the squad and different guys in different positions. That's what we need for, you know, coming up to the, you know, such a big tournament, because it's I think Bob probably has got pretty much his team probably that he wants to play, but we're going to have injuries, and you know we're going to have to probably have to go through a lot of changes this World Cup, so we'll have to see how it goes.
It's certainly going to be a challenge, and of course the world, and of course everybody here in the United States and England are talking about that first match on June 12th, as, you know, England faces the United States. It's probably one of the most watched matches in the history of U.S. soccer, but for the U.S., it's a unique situation with you and Brad Guzan and Tim Howard all playing in the Premiership. You've seen the England players. You know what they tend to do, what their tendencies and their the things they like to do on the field to put the ball in the back of the net. How have you guys been able to help some of the non-UK EPL players in teaching them what Wayne Rooney or Steven Gerrard or Frank Lampard might be wanting to do against us?
Well, I think the Premier League, with how popular it is throughout the world, and I think especially in America, this is the league that everybody watches. You know, we've got more games on, you know, every week than any other league in the world, and we don't need to tell anybody about any English players, because I think they know everything there is to know about them. They see these guys every week. You know, basically the only player not playing in England is, you know, Beckham, who's plays in America anyway, and you know they all play in the Premier League, which I think makes it that much more special for us. You know, and it's going to be a huge game throughout the world, I think, but especially for us. You know, I mean, that was one of the reasons why I wanted to go to England, because that was the league that I wanted to watch all the time. When I was watching any foreign league, it was the Premier League, because it was more exciting than anything. And, you know, the speed of the play, which, so the strength of all their players is basically of, you know, Rooney, Lampard, you know, I mean, they're all over the place. You know, they can pop up anywhere. They're, you know, they shoot from anywhere. The strength and power and speed, you know, that has been bred in, you know, the Premier League. And which makes it, you know, that much more exciting, which it's going to be all that more of a test for us right off the bat, and it's going to make that game so special.
It is going to be something. We're here with Marcus Hahnemann, goaltender for the U.S. men's national team. Again, the U.S. in action tomorrow night in Hartford against the Czech Republic. Should be a great match. Marcus, let me ask you this. The questions have been out there about the fitness of Wayne Rooney and how critical he is for England. You've played against him. Do you think there's any doubt that he's going to be out there on June the 12th starting for the Three Lions?
Wayne Rooney is a huge part of their team. I mean, you could see, you know, when even for, you know, Manchester United, you know, when he's not playing, they're not as good. It's as simple as that. He is a huge part of their team. You know, and without them, you know, they're going to have to, if he's not fit, which I'm sure he probably will be, you know, the they have to rely on other players like, you know, Crouch, who can, you know, can change games. You know, as soon as he comes in, the game changes. You know, it always changes the momentum. If you watch Tottenham at all last year, every time he stepped on the field, within minutes, the game changed momentum. And, you know, we had the game that when we beat Tottenham at their place, you know, we were in control of the game completely, and they brought Crouch off the bench, and it just turned the game off on its head. You know, completely changed the momentum of the game. He's so big. In the air, he's such a dominant force, but also his skill, and you just cannot... He's got those big, long legs, and, you know, really changed the game. So they have a ton of players that, you know, can really affect the game, but... you know, Rooney always seems to find a way to get fit, and you know he's got such a strong character, and he's, I'm sure he'll be there. But if not, they've got other threats to come off the bench. But we're gonna deal with it, hopefully.
We're really concentrating on England. I'm sure the press obviously is concentrating on that U.S. England match for so many reasons, but. They very, very likely come out down to the final, the other two matches in the group against Slovenia, a team that has been in the World Cup before. They have a good, solid nucleus of players. They've had a great defensive game. And then Algeria, who are, you know, they're one of Africa's teams, and they barely made it into the World Cup in that playoff against Egypt. So really, has Bob Bradley talked to you guys, or have you guys seen game films at all of Slovenia and Algeria yet?
Not really. We haven't done a whole lot of video analysis yet. And everyone's all talking about England, and which is, you know, basically our first game. And, you know, I try not to think about anything, you know, past the game we're really playing. And since that's our first real game, that's been our entire focus, really, and mine anyway. And because you start worrying about other things, then, you know, you lose sight of what's important. That's the game you're playing. And, you know, so, you know, right now we have our two friendlies coming up. We have Australia right before. But, you know, the first real game that counts is England. And, you know, I mean, top two teams do go through, you know. So, you know, it's not a do-or-die game. But it is, you know, vitally important to get off to a good start and, you know, have a good performance.
It certainly is. And let me ask you this about South Africa. The U.S. played there, of course, last year in the Confederations Cup. Do you think is going to help the U.S. team, having played in June in South Africa last year, getting used to the environment, the weather, the altitude, and the atmosphere in the stadiums that you're going to be playing in?
I think so. You know, everything does become kind of natural. And, you know, I've been asking the guys what it was like, because I didn't make it last year. In the tournament, and you know, I've been asking some of the guys what it was like, and you know, and everything has moved on a lot in the last year as well. You know, all the infrastructure that has been being built up in South Africa, because you know, a lot of people even questioned that if it was going to be able to even happen there, because nothing was built when they, you know, initially got the bid, and you know, everything is being built new, and you know, it's going to be state of the art, pretty much everything, and brand new.
It's going to be something special. And for you personally, what is it like for you this time going to the World Cup for your second time around after playing in Germany 4 years ago?
I mean, the last one was special, really special for me. It was my first World Cup. It was in my, you know, my parents' homeland. My parents were from Germany. We were, you know, we were stationed in Hamburg, which is where my parents both grew up. So all my cousins and relatives all still live there. So, you know, I mean, that had a whole different meaning as well, that, you know, in Germany. But this one is, you know, it's going to be my last World Cup. You know, I mean, unless I'm come back as a coach, because I'm going to be 42 for the next one. So I think that might be pushing it. So, you know, I'm trying to enjoy every minute of it. Everything from, you know, hanging out with just about everybody, the equipment guys, and, you know, I've made a ton of good friends over, you know, my career being with the national team, and you know, the trainers and everybody. It's been great. And to, you know, to kind of know it's your last one, it's you know, makes it that much more special, I think.
Well, you never know, though, Marcus. You know, you remember guys like Roger Mila and Dino Zoff and Peter Schild and even David James, who looks like he may be the top choice for England in goal this year. You know, your position is unique, and as opposed to most of the other positions on the field. And, you know, guys that of your age and older really can shine. Look at Pat Onstad, who played, of course, for the Rhinos and is still playing for Canada in his 40s. So
yeah,
you never say
it's
never.
Possible. It's clearly possible, but... you know, the closer it gets towards the end, you know, you tend to know a little bit, and I think you appreciate everything a little bit more. You know, when you're young, you think it's going to go on forever, and then, you know, as you get a little bit older, you tend to realize it's not going to go on forever, but you're doing everything that you can to keep it going, because there's nothing as good as what we do. You know, I mean, playing this game, it's been absolutely great. And you know, to me, I've had, you know, a wonderful career throughout, you know, the A-League, the MLS, and, you know, now in England. And, you know, I haven't had as many games with the national team as I wanted to, but I've always had, you know, some unbelievable goalkeepers in front of me. You know, I've been behind Keller and Friedel and, you know, and now Timmy. And so that's the reason why I don't have as many games as I should probably. But it doesn't change the fact that we've always had such a strong team, and why we've done so well is our team spirit and our willingness to go on the field together, and, you know, not really care who takes credit too much, and we just want to win games, whatever that may be, whatever it takes, and we do it.
Reminds me of what President Reagan once said. He said that you can accomplish anything as long as you don't care who takes the credit.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what the national team is really, really gearing towards for this World Cup. But I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you a bit about your history playing here in Rochester in 96 and being in that championship match against the Rhinos up in Seattle. What are your memories of that? I know it goes back almost 15 years. But what do you remember about those days?
You know, we had a great team in Seattle. You know, it was kind of a, you know, building on my college career with SPU with Cliff McGrath, and, you know, we had a great attitude as a team. And when I went into the Sounders, the team spirit was remarkable, and that's something that, you know, we always strive for whenever we go out and get on any team, is to have that same sort of team spirit. And you know, we had a mix of guys who, some guys were playing indoor at the time, and some guys were had come from, you know, outdoor. And so we had, I mean, in the age group, we had some guys like Bernie James, Chance Fry, Gary Megson, Billy Crook. You know, we had some old guys. We had a ton of young guys who just came from SPU and UW, and I think we had a Chris Henderson at the time was there maybe that year from UCLA. And so we had such a mix of talent, and everyone came together to play. And, you know, throughout all my teams, that's the one thing we're always trying to do. And because when you have that, you have that team spirit, you know, that, you know, you can always seem to get results even when, you know, things are going against you.
Well, Marcus, I know that we're all going to be wishing all the best for the national team. We were really watching every match, and, of course, the big match coming up on Saturday, June 12th, against England. But tomorrow night it's Czech Republic, Saturday it's Turkey, and maybe the last chance to get to see or watch the matches on TV here in the States before you guys go off to South Africa. So we wish you all the best of luck.
One great thing is ESPN is, you know, it seems like they're doing it right, you know. I mean, the coverage that we've been getting already, even with the, you know, little teasers before everything happens, they've always got on the ticker. And, you know, I think they're going to do a really good job on the World Cup, so everyone's going to be able to keep up to date with everything over that's happening over there. So we're really pumped.
Well, SportsCenter is going to be broadcasted live from South Africa during the World Cup, so I'm sure that all the fans, especially on the East Coast, will probably get to watch most of the games without changing our sleeping patterns at all. So, but anyway, we want to again wish you all the best of luck, and we'll be watching you all throughout the World Cup, and hopefully you'll get into a match or two, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we can't wait, man. We're just ready to go out and get it going.
Thanks a lot, Marcus. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
That was Marcus Hahnemann from our U.S. men's national team, Joe. What a nice guy he was. He spent a lot of time with us, and was a tremendous tremendous individual. He's definitely, you can see the experience that he has playing all those years.
Well, you know, he remembers most of the things that happened in his career, and he's very appreciative of what he achieved and where he went. What got me, the fact that he made a lot of good friends with the trainer. He mentioned the trainer.
There you go.
Which I made a point of becoming everybody's friend as well. So it's guys like this that make the job work, you know, makes everything worthwhile.
Yep. Well, the U.S. plays the Czech Republic tomorrow at 8 p.m. in Hartford, and it'll be on ESPN. And then Saturday, 2 o'clock from Philadelphia, it's the U.S. against Turkey on ESPN2. Joe and I will be right back with Rhinos goalkeeper Neil Kitson here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Doug Miller Sports Dome, proud to be a family destination offering programs for everyone. We specialize in everything soccer, indoor driving range, golf lessons, rentable time, and birthday parties. Go to DougMillerSoccer.com or call 352-5300.
Are you ready to stop paying rent? You can't afford to build a new home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's problems when a new construction Faber home will be built to suit your style and your needs? On average, people purchasing an existing house spend an additional 10 to 15% above the purchase price in the first year, trying to make someone else's house feel like their home. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta, and coming soon, Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today at 359-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $139,900. Faber Homes. Great homes, great price.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Grayson of Grayson Chiropractic in Brighton with a message to fans and athletes. At Grayson, our focus is to evaluate, recommend, and treat pain and discomfort caused by strenuous training and competition. Emergencies are seen right away at Grayson, and we accept most insurance plans. When you're in pain and need care, call me, Dr. Frank Grayson, chiropractor, at 271-6080. We work hard to make you feel better.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni. Don't forget our Twitter page is twitter.com/radiosoccer, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/radiosoccer. And we're very happy to have with us right now on the show, first-time guest. He is the one of the two goalkeepers for the Rochester Rhinos, started the last two matches against Crystal Palace Baltimore and against the Vancouver Whitecaps on Saturday. We're joined by Neil Kitson. Neil's appearance is brought to you by chiropractic Dr. Frank Grayson of Brighton. Neil, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing very well. I was getting Andrew Battisti and Joe Sirianni, the former trainer of the Rochester Lancers, with us. And Joe, I know you got some questions for Neil.
Well, Neil, just going through some of the information that we got over here, I read that last year you missed some time because of some injuries. You want to tell us about a little bit?
I was drafted in the third round by the Kansas City Wizards. I was there for a week. But sadly, I had to come out of training camp because I fractured my pelvis. and had a sports hernia both on the left side. So I've been out from the end of January all the way up till November. So about 11 months and then, you know, hard rehab assignment after that.
Well, I tell you, the recovery for the job that you do and, you know, the injury that you have, you know, the pelvis thing, the way you dive, and you got it, you know, the training, diving, and jumping in the air and diving, that's a demanding thing. And I'm glad that you have recovered and you're playing very well. As far as I'm concerned, you know, the first game that you played against Crystal Palace, I didn't see. My first thought was, you know, that you should have had that ball, you know, but then they said that the ball hit, it went off
San Filippo.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, there was a, you know, the play broke down, and it ended up being a 2v1 with Frankie being the lone defender on that side. Their player cut in towards the middle and took a shot that was going towards my left side, and my body, you know, was moving to the left. And, you know, it deflected off Frankie's knee and ended up going back to my right side. You know, it's disappointing because I felt I should have still had it. You know, just watching it over and over with Coach, you know, it had that spin after the flesh and everything. But, I mean, you know, it was a tough one to give up. And, you know, we obviously just lost 1-0 from that goal. So, you know, it was a tough one to take.
Well, you know what? You know, there's a lot of people that don't own up to their mistakes, and I thought, you know, I thought I read about it, and I thought to myself, as now here's a guy that understands the responsibility, assumes the responsibility, and you said just the same thing that you know, you were quoted saying the same thing that you just said, and I liked very much your presence on the goal, you come out, your aerial take on it. So I then going back to the Vancouver game, I didn't think the defense was very helpful to you in Vancouver.
Yeah, you know, they had, you know, their attacking play. You know, they had two fast wingers, and their forward up top, one of the two, was very fast. So they were stretching us the entire time. You know, it was difficult for our back four really to you know, to cope with that. Also, they had, you know, their other forward, I think it was Habit, 6'4", 6'5", you know, very good. You know, it was hard to compete with them, really. You know, hopefully this week, you know, we get over and we work some things out so we can deal with and cope with those same players this weekend.
Neil, it sounds like you guys are looking forward to playing them again, and you've just seen them in Vancouver, so now you know pretty much what to expect from the Whitecaps. So, what's the team's outlook? What's the mood of the team going into Saturday's match?
Well, you know, we were disappointed from the result, but you know, Coach Lilly, you know, picked us up and said, you know, we did some things right, and we know what to expect from them now. You know, so thankfully we're playing them, you know, right again next week, in front of our fans. You know, we feel confident that we can fix some things, you know, mistakes that we made. And now, look, you know, this week in training, work on things, how to penetrate their defense and how we have a, you know, positive impact in our final third, you know, hopefully to get a better result this weekend.
And we're looking forward to seeing them. It could be the last time we ever see Vancouver at Marina Auto Stadium. They're going to MLS next year, so unless we see them in the playoffs, this will be the last match. So we want to thank you. We're sorry to cut you short. We had the long interview with Marcus Hahnemann there, but thanks again for being with us, and we'll definitely talk to you again later in the season, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Gus.
Thanks a lot, Neil. Neil Kitson, the new goalkeeper for the Rochester Rhinos. We'll see if he or Scott Vallow gets the start on Saturday night as the Rhinos take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. It's a 7 p.m. kickoff at Marina Auto Stadium. Again, it's very likely we may never see Vancouver again, so this is your last chance to see him. And I want to thank Marcus Hahnemann, of course, and Michael Kammerman from the U.S. national team for our special interview today. Neil Kitson and Eric Trendle and Dave Selinsky from the Rhinos for all of their help as well. And Joe, next week, the World Cup preview show. I can't wait.
I know, and I want to remind the soccer fans of Rochester to come and support the Rhinos. They need your support. They need the people in the stands. So don't worry, they'll come. It's a good team in the making. Need to be patient.
This has been Andrew Battisti with Joe Sirianni and Bob D'Angelo with the WISL Controls. Be with us next Monday at 6:30 for our World Cup special on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WISL1040.com. Good evening, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Dr. Frank Grayson Chiropractor, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Doug Miller Sports Dome, the Diplomat Banquet Center, the Soccer Shack, LS Graphics, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.